Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir, number 433. We're middle of the five-step action plan to a happy and healthy marriage. We discussed the first two steps of this plan. The first one is to commit. The second one is to seal all the exits of unhealthy escapes. The third one, which we're going to talk about now, is to detox your marriage, meaning once you decided that you want the marriage to work and you committed to it and you removed all the outside factors that cause you to escape and now you're focused on one another, now the key is to detox the marriage, to remove the negativity that was there once before. If you're in a sealed room, it's filled with poison. Obviously, it's not going to be a healthy situation. So we need to remove that negativity, take the poison out of the relationship so that you could thrive. It's not easy to do sometimes because a husband has been hurt by his wife, a wife has been hurt by her husband, and it's not easy not to harp on those past wrongdoings. But in order to move forward, they both need to decide to eliminate the blame and the shame and the criticism and to move forward, to flush out those toxins, and then the relationship could be infused with a love and an affection and it will thrive. What are these toxins? So there's abuse. Abuse in any relationship is unacceptable. Now, society already condemned, for the most part, domestic violence. Domestic violence is primarily perpetrated by men. And what happens is they could be verbally abusive too. But on the female end, it's not really the actual physical violence, but there's a tremendous verbal abuse that takes place that is often overlooked. Because a man's strength is physical for the most part, a woman's strength for the most part is the verbal, and it's more socially accepted for women who bully their husbands verbally than it would be accepted for a man to actually hit his wife, chas v'shalom. But one needs to realize that just as one should not hit using fists to express the frustration in the relationship, one cannot lash out with their tongue either to voice those grievances. What's better than that? What's safer than that, more effective, is to communicate those feelings as we're going to describe in a healthy way. But if there is verbal abuse, it chips away at the trust that's here in the relationship. And it makes it difficult to rebuild. So the abuse has to be eliminated completely. The physical abuse, there's nothing to be said. Everyone knows that. But the verbal abuse, that sometimes husbands bash their wives verbally and wives bash their husbands verbally, that is something that has to stop. What happens is that couples drift apart and disconnect for many reasons, a large part out of fear and out of shame. Men and women, for example, both, he explains, fears homelessness. They are afraid of becoming homeless, but for different reasons. When you ask a woman, what are you most afraid of if you became homeless? And she will say her main fear would be that someone would harm me. Someone would hurt me physically, or kill me, or rape me, or I'd be isolated and alone. I'd be deprived from comfort. I'll be deprived from food. That's what a woman would normally say. What would a man say the most difficult part of being homeless is? Feeling like a failure. Safety is also an issue for men, obviously, but the shame of being on the street and unemployed robs the man of his dignity. And he feels a great degree of shame because he feels like a failure. When a woman shames their husband, when a wife shames their husband by nagging them, make more money, go more on job interviews, you're not doing anything. A lot of times they're saying this because they have a fear. And they're touching a nerve in a man that could be extremely devastating to him. He's going to have a very hard time if he feels he's being accused or criticized and will disconnect from her. Now, This does not exempt the husband from his responsibility. The ksuba no eflach. He needs to provide for his wife. He needs to allay her fears and tell her, don't worry, this is what I'm planning to do. And he needs to do his due diligence to earn a livelihood, to go on interviews and to get to that point. He has to do that ishtadlis. So there's no way around that. He has that responsibility. But at the same time, it's important for the wives, the women, to realize that the effect of that unhealthy encouragement will have a devastating effect on their husbands. Criticism, unsolicited advice, makes the husbands feel unsafe, and it'll produce the opposite of what you desire as a result. Instead, what, let's say the husband is struggling with parnasa or is unemployed right now. So it's very important if a wife could learn to calm her fear, to express the fear that she has, but in a safe, non-confrontational way. That is the way to achieve your goal. Usually the fear overcomes it, and it becomes more like a nagging or a shaming or a blaming, but it comes from the fear. If you calm down your fear and have betochen, realize it's Hashem, but I have to do my ishtadlus. I do need to say things. I do need to encourage my husband and help him, but without the negative vibe that's there. So the idea is, you need to ask yourself, husband to wife, wife to husband, what do I want? When I'm about to say something, what do I need from my spouse? And the bottom line is if you're angry, you know, it doesn't help. Asking in a calm way what you want is much more productive to get what you need. Nagging doesn't work. Blaming doesn't work. Shaming doesn't work. Criticizing doesn't work. And it pulls away the person. It pulls away the other person. So that is very important. You have a right to ask for what you want in a clear way, in a menschliche way, in a respectful way. But don't put threats into that request. In other words, you have to do this, otherwise I'll do this and this and this, or I won't do this and this and this. Or you'll go elsewhere if the request is not made. Then you're not going to have the results you want, because it's an unsafe environment. You want everything to be in the context of safety. And that is the issue with negativity that wipes away a healthy marriage. So detoxing your marriage means to get rid of the negativity completely. It is hard sometimes, especially if there's a lot of water under the bridge where they went through difficult times, but it's crucial for the health of the relationship. The more negative experiences that we had with our husband or wife, the more we're conditioned to view him or her in a negative light. So you need to change your focus on how you feel and how you think about your husband and your wife. The good news is that you certainly can do that. That's called, in the Torah terminology, bechira, the free will to look at your husband or your wife on a different plane, don lekav schus type of plane, looking at the benefit of the doubt type of plane. In scientific language, we call it neuroplasticity. There are new neural pathways that can be formed as we learn to experience each other in a different, more positive way. It takes time to change those old habits if you're always nasty to each other. But if now you talk respectfully to each other, then that is detoxing the relationship. And later you'll throw in the love, infusing love in it too, as we're going to explain in a later step. But the first idea is to make it very clear that you're going to talk respectfully and health in a healthy way towards each other. Anger needs to be avoided at all costs. Most of us get upset at our spouses, and that's normal. But if we express that feeling with a strong emotion, with an anger, with a rage, it could create a tremendously devastating effect on both of them, the one who's yelling and the one who is getting hurt by the yelling. It may feel like a relief. You're letting it out, and you're letting out your frustration. Your spouse understands, and that now gets the message. But your spouse not just gets the message, your spouse feels even more hurt, more disconnected. And
even if you regretted it later that you blew your temper, the anger could leave a lot of permanent scars. Anger is very, very powerful. Anger is extremely scary because when we are angry, we often have no control over ourselves. It's very frightening to see someone lose their control in anger. And even if you feel that the one, your spouse, your husband or wife that you're yelling at, they were wrong, but there are other effective ways to get through that message. So therefore, how do you stop this? We're going to talk more in the next step on how to get the relationship in a safe place. But action step three, which is this one, is eliminate the negativity. Eliminate the lashing out. That doesn't mean you become a doormat. Doesn't mean that you suppress your feelings. But what it means is you take responsibility for your feelings. You express them, but in a mature, healthy way. Some of the ideas of doing this is the I statement, for example. Instead of criticizing and blaming and shaming, you say something like, I feel sad or I feel belittled when you talk to me that way. When you focus on yourself, then it removes the defensiveness on your spouse by making the I statement. You're removing a threat. You're creating safety. The idea behind this step is the belief. Not only it's a belief, it's just a reality, it's a truth, that you alone can shift the energy of the relationship. You have the ability to detox your marriage. Even if your husband or wife right now is not willing to work on the relationship, but the effort that you make in eliminating the blame and shame and negativity and anger will have a tremendous impact over time. When you remove the toxicity, the poison from the aspects that you brought to the relationship, then your spouse, husband or wife, will begin to be more open to experience that new you, will respond more accordingly. Kamayim panim al panim. So instead of having that vicious cycle, the toxic relationship vicious cycle where they're bashing each other, one of the spouses now decides, I'm stopping that cycle, and there will be no need to continue spreading out that negativity because it will all be corrected that way. So to recognize the frustrations with your spouse, how write down and consider how you normally would articulate that those frustrations to your spouse and analyze, are you expressing those frustrations from a place of shame and blame and criticism? Then how do I change that? And how do I start talking to them in a more effective way, in a healthy way? So to summarize this year is that now that you have committed, step one, now that you have sealed the energy leaks, step two, now is step three, detox the negative energy that remains here, removing the poison from your relationship, eliminating all blame, all shame, all criticism. Physical abuse, we know, is terrible, indefensible. Verbal abuse is clearly terrible. It's a no-no. It's devastating to the relationship, especially for men. You would think the reverse. You know, women are more sensitive emotionally. Therefore, a husband that bashes his wife verbally is much more harsh. And the truth is, the Chazal do say that you should be careful with the Inas Ishtay, the way you talk to your wife, because her tears are near because of her sensitivity. But what people don't recognize as much is that the men may have a tougher exterior, but they get crushed by the harsh words that they hear from their wives. I'm going to say that again because this sometimes is concealed. You have men that seem to be more softer. There you could at least get in your mind, if you married a more softer nature type of a man, that your harsh words will hurt him deeply. You could get that. But when you see a man that's much more confident and much more aggressive or much more, you know, like put together in things, so you would think they don't get crushed if I say something insensitive, but they actually do inside. Rapam used to say that all the time. We don't understand, we don't comprehend how people are extremely sensitive. Even the tougher exterior men have deep feelings, and when their wife harshly criticizes them, they get crushed, they get devastated by it, whether they admit it or they don't. So when you get frustrated, think about what's lying beneath the surface. Your spouse cannot read your mind, so you need to ask directly, how do I get your needs met? And never threaten, and stop the negativity by taking responsibility with these I statements, and express them in the most effective way. So this is a real key. The detox your marriage is very simply saying you have old habits in the way you used to talk to your husband or your wife, and starting from today, I will not do that anymore. I will talk to them in a completely different way, in a completely respectful way, as best as I could. And this will lead us to the next step that we'll be able to talk about in upcoming shiurim. Bracha and Hatzlacha.